How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. This is two in a row. This honestly feels like a bit of an occasion, although maybe I shouldn't be giving so much crap to now a two-time award-winning journalist, Harrison Fagan. Like, are you going to change that on your Twitter bio?
You know, I'm not quite at that point yet where I want to give myself that much of a pat on the back, but I appreciate you pointing it out.
Given how terrible your back is, you might throw out your back trying to pat it.
That's true. That's another reason to avoid self-congratulations.
Yeah. So, it keeps you humble. Hashtag humble.
Yeah.
Hashtag
back pain. Back pain added benefit keeps you humble.
So today's show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. More on that in a second. Make sure you're going to ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers. But today's show, it's as usual, it's going to be broken up into two parts. The first part, we're going to talk about the actual news of the day in which Tim DeFrancesco, the strength and conditioning coach of the Lakers, resigned. We're going to talk about that. I found something interesting to maybe draw from that. We're going to do a little bit of speculating. And on the other side of the break, we are going to talk about kind of an extension of an article that Howard Beck wrote about Michael Jordan and how, for whatever reason, we aren't looking for the next Michael Jordan anymore. So those are a couple things. Those are the two things that we're going to talk about.
And like today. How that relates to Kobe, just because, I mean, this is a Lakers podcast, so, you know, you got to tie it back to Kobe.
Well, I wanted to talk about Michael. I don't really care about Kobe anymore. But anywho, let's start, though, with that. And before we really get into the nitty-gritty here, make sure you're following the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Like I said earlier, the show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Let's talk about this Tim DeFrancesco news. He resigns today, and I couldn't help but, and I saw other people's out there making the connection here, but I couldn't help but notice that all through the exit interview process, we kept on hearing about how the Lakers weren't necessarily in the best shape that they were or that they could be, and that's going to be something that they really focus on here moving forward into this offseason. This is, again, it's fully speculative. This isn't to say that, you know, Tim was forced out or anything like that, but I thought it was really interesting that this was a major theme that we saw throughout the last couple weeks or last month or so since the Lakers season ended, and now you see this news drop. Harrison, again, purely speculation here, but you can understand why people are making that speculation, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an easy conclusion to draw. The fact that he resigned, I don't know, is the only part that maybe I'm just going to play devil's advocate from that speculation here. I think that the fact that he resigned points me away from that conclusion, maybe, because maybe he's definitely a guy. You see him out there on social media. He's a guy that likes advising other people other than the Lakers on how to live, and he likes kind of – He appears to like the being an expert and being like a little bit of the celebrity figure and giving people lifestyle tips and stuff. So I would not be shocked if he went on and did something like that. And maybe that's why he resigned. I mean, you got to look at all the possible reasons, although I couldn't fault anyone for guessing kind of at the conclusion that you're guessing at.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you know, he wouldn't be the first and he won't be the last to be asked to step down, right? Like if that is the situation here. And the other thing too is, even if he was asked, and again, purely speculation, but if he was asked to resign, it might not even necessarily be because, you know, Magic and Rob Pelinka think that he did a bad job, right? It might just be the entire front office has been basically overhauled. This might just be yet another domino to fall in that process, right? I don't really fault new management for saying, no, actually, we want our guys in there. We want our people to be able to make these decisions, to be able to, you know, improve communication with us as we trust them more than, you know, maybe we would trust you in this situation. There are always a ton of things that go into this type of turnover like we've seen with the Lakers. And look, I'm not saying, and I don't think anybody can really argue that Tim hasn't done a good job, right? Like, I don't think anybody out there, and to that point itself, Baxter Holmes tweeted out after he initially reported the resignation, that there were people within the league or throughout the league who were saying that the Lakers just lost a pretty important piece to what they are hoping to do moving forward here, right? This isn't, I want everybody to understand here that I'm not crapping on this guy on his way out the door. I'm just more interested in what might be at play here, or what might be at work here, as we continue to see the Lakers take shape moving forward under Magic Johnson's leadership.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, this happens in every industry. It's not just basketball, where new management comes in and they want their guys. So if that was kind of what happened here, then it's not necessarily an indictment of DeFrancesco. It's just something that, you know, happens.
Did you say indictment?
Yeah.
It's indictment.
Oh, well, we can cut this. What's the timestamp?
On that note, let's go ahead and the Lakers are currently looking to hire. Especially after that, if you're saying indictment instead of indictment, I'm definitely looking for another co-host. Are you looking to hire? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job to all the job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. As I criticize you for saying indictment. And right now, my listeners can post job on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers.
And I guess you can find the Locked On Lakers co-host job there. That was that's my bad. I've been pronouncing that wrong my whole life. I don't know how that's even possible that I'm 25 years old and nobody's corrected me on that. But here we are.
Did you really like Google that to verify?
I literally just Googled the pronunciation. So yeah, you can just go ahead and crying MJ me, and then take my job on ZipRecruiter. Sounds like a pretty sweet option.
I might actually post a listing there. Just see what happens.
You know, I couldn't blame you after that. I'll be honest.
It's free. All right, so let's talk. This was your baby. This was your idea, this Kobe conversation here, after reading Howard Beck's. And if you haven't read it yet, Howard Beck of Bleacher Report put together a really cool article about the lack of Michael Jordan comparisons and the various reasons going into it. I never read. I read that. It was really good. But
Harrison, yeah, it wasn't something that I've thought about a lot before, but he's right. I mean, yeah. They've gone way down. You don't hear anybody being touted as the next MJ anymore.
And so you wanted to extend it to Kobe and what's going on now with this young core.
Yeah, well, so I thought it was interesting, and then it was actually listening to his story time with Howard Beck on the Low Post after the article came out that kind of gave me this idea. So shout out to that podcast. All of you guys should be listening to that one as well. But I was listening to that, and it made me think, you know, nobody's talking about comparing all these young guys to Kobe, or nobody's talking about like comparing guys to Michael Jordan anymore. But the thing that comes up seemingly every single time in the media when talking about the Lakers young guys is like, oh, well, they're looking for their next Kobe, or are any of these guys the next Kobe? None of these guys may be the next Kobe. And it's always getting tied back to Kobe. And it's like I'm reading this MJ thing and they're talking about all the reasons why nobody compares anyone to MJ. And all that stuff kind of applies to Kobe too, on like the Lakers level, where like, are any of these guys Kobe? Probably not. Kobe was one of like top five, top 10 players of all time. Like I would say it's very unlikely that Brandon Ingram, Ivica Zubac, D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, any of these guys are ever going to be the next Kobe. And that's not an indictment of them necessarily.
First off, congratulations on saying indictment properly.
I had to work it in there somehow.
That was really good. So my initial thought is, I guess I'm somewhat ashamed that this is somehow a revelation. Is that too harsh? Does that sound too harsh? Because they are all these kids.
Well, no, but you've heard it too, right? Everybody's like, oh, they're looking for their next Kobe. None of these guys are Kobe, so they might trade them. Like, if you're thinking like if you're the Lakers and you're like, well, none of these guys are Kobe, so we could trade any of them. Like, that's not, and maybe that's not what they're doing, but that's the way it's being phrased out in the media, and that's not a smart way to run a franchise.
Well, I've said it before on the show. Thinking that the Lakers might get their next Kobe, if you could somehow go back in time to when Kobe was a rookie, you would find that Kobe himself was not seen as the next Kobe.
Yeah, Kobe was not Kobe. He was a different animal, but still the same beast. But like, not people didn't know that yet.
It was. I mean, he had those air balls in Salt Lake. He, you know, was brash. He was rougher on the edges in terms of the skills that he brought to the table. Like, you saw maybe he could be something, but if you would have told me back when Kobe was a 18 year old rookie that this guy might eventually become arguably the greatest Laker of all time, and again, I say
you would have thought, you would have thought that person was crazy.
Yeah. And you know,
and just as like a sidebar here, but you mentioned the air balls against Utah. And I do sometimes like to think about that. Kobe is the insane competitor. His whole career was just him preparing to hit big shots against Utah in his last game to rectify that.
I mean, sure. I could totally, that's going to be his next Players Tribune article. Right.
Just breaking down his own performances.
but I think, you know, I think it kind of goes back to this idea that I keep seeing this as a narrative, and tell me you haven't seen this too. But this idea that none of the Lakers right now are these no doubt about it superstars, right? And to which I would say, Giannis was never a no doubt about it superstar until really like midway through last year when he started playing point guard. Jimmy Butler, Paul George, like a lot of these, look across the league.
What was the feeling on those guys nationally until like the last couple of years? Like, it definitely wasn't that they were going to be as good as they are. And like, how many guys in the league right now are as good as Kobe was in his prime?
Right, and
like,
so,
not many. Your bar can't be, is this guy the next Kobe? No, okay, he's not good enough for us.
And all you're doing is setting yourself up for the failure of, okay, we are now looking for our next Kobe. Let's trade for somebody who might be perceived as Kobe's heir. But if the guy that you consider Kobe's quote-unquote heir is not or doesn't have as high a ceiling as the guys who you trade for him, that's how you screw your franchise over for years to come, right? And that's, you know, that's like that was a podcast topic with Matt, was can the Lakers be patient enough to be great and not just good? Because you know, trading for Paul George, giving up multiple assets right now for Paul George is a great way to get good, right? But as we've seen in Indiana, a Paul George-led team has a ceiling at good. They aren't great. You know, even at peak Indiana stage, people were shocked that they were going to give that they were giving the Heat the kind of trouble that they were giving them in that series. It wasn't one of those, like, you headed into the series and people were actually putting money on Indiana.
Yeah, they're like, that. Those guys are really, really good. They'll probably go to the Eastern Conference Finals and lose to LeBron.
Yeah, like, that's – and so, you know, and especially, you know, giving up assets for somebody who's going to be a free agent soon anyway and is – hellbent times two on coming to the Lakers, then yeah. But let's
You were talking about the ceiling for a Paul George team. How much better is the Lakers roster if they trade, if it, like, say they trade, even if it's just Russell or even if it's just Ingram and like another one of those second tier guys? Is that team a playoff team with Paul George? I don't think so.
No.
Not in the West.
No. I mean, next year Portland's going to be better. New Orleans is going to be better. One would think, right, that Boogie and Anthony Davis with a full offseason would, you know, to figure it out, might maybe figure it out. But there are teams across the Western Conference who are going to get better. I think this is kind of taking away, though, or this is kind of detouring from the topic at hand. This idea, though, of I'm just going to say it. I've been really annoyed since Kobe's retirement that every single time Kobe bats an eyelash, Kobe says anything on X interview, it's this big news. Kobe's not thinking about coming back to the NBA. Well, yeah, guys, he freaking retired. Like, move on. Be better at your job. You could come up with a narrative that doesn't require the SEO headline of Kobe Bryant XYZ news.
I do love that on every single media appearance or show appearance that he makes, it's a rule. He has to be asked if he misses basketball, and every single time he gives the same answer, and every single time he gets the question asked again.
Like,
although, I mean, hey, we don't want to disparage Jason Whitlock's reporting. Kobe could still come back to the Knicks.
Oh, I'll dispute the hell out of Jason Whitlock. but what I'm saying, though, is like, what's the hope there? Like, is the hope that Kobe, he's said this 17 umpteen times now on various media stations out there that I am not thinking about coming back to the NBA, and your show is going to be the one that he
it's
going to
be the 19th time where he's like, you know what, I do really miss basketball. I think I'm going to unretire. You know, I really did want to play with Carmelo one year.
And it has to be kind of frustrating for Kobe, right? Like, that would be annoying. That I'm trying to work on these new projects, whether it's the weird ass Muse Cage thing, whatever that is.
Hey, man, I'm just gonna say, like, be careful disparaging his product.
Yeah, I should call you, like, you, I should have been referring to you as Kobe's son this whole time.
We've actually never talked about that on the show, which is, now that I realize it, which is kind of hilarious, because it happened right before I took my week break.
He killed you. I brought
you
back from the
dead.
Yeah,
so it turns out Kobe checks his verified mention, so learned that one. I went back, I looked at the film, I saw some obvious errors, I saw some correctable things, and I know what not to do anymore.
Can I ask you, like, I know the face you make anytime something crazy happens, something that you do not expect or don't know how to respond to. Did you make that face?
Oh, yeah. So we went way off course here, but I don't care. This was a fun story. And so I walked away. I left TweetDeck up on my computer, and I looked away, and I was just playing, like, Dishonored 2 for a little bit, which is a great game. And I looked back, like, 20 minutes later, and my TweetDeck notifications column is, like flying like a slot machine of hatred. And I was like, what even just happened? Like, and so I look back, and then I look at, like, my next column over is my Lakers game coverage, and I see that Kobe has quote tweeted and / roasted me. And so I got to, for the next, like, 24 to 48 hours, have people, you know, like, Photoshop me getting dunked on by Kobe, which was hilarious. I saw somebody change his Wikipedia page to say that I was his son, which was, that was a new one.
Hey, this is your first appearance on Wikipedia.
Yeah, I think I can put that on my resume. I have a Wikipedia page now.
I love watching that all from afar, especially because I knew that you were about to go on, you know, that brief hiatus because of comm week at school. So
it was funny. People actually thought that I died. So.
Yeah, like a lot of people, like I had a couple actual mentions. People asking, like, "Hey, is Harrison really not allowed back on the show?"
Yeah, Kobe fired me.
That's why I'm on ZipRecruiter. So. I wanted to get back though. There's a last couple points here that I wanted to make regarding this phenomenon of you know, Lakers being compared to Kobe and whatever. Have you missed the Michael Jordan comparisons in these playoffs?
No.
Like, not at all, right?
No. On one hand, I get the need to compare guys to the past. It's like a fun way to reminisce sometimes. It's an easy way to say, like, how good is this guy? Okay, well, he's as good as this other guy that we thought was good. You know, like, I get it. But at the same time, I don't know why we always have to rush to compare everybody to a former player. Like, players are kind of like snowflakes. They're all a little bit and not like, because like, this isn't me going Charles Barkley and saying they're sensitive. This is me saying,
I didn't realize I had Tommy Lahren on my show.
they're all, no comment, they're all unique. You know, and there's not been a player who came in and was like exactly the same as this other player. Like, Kobe actually might have come the closest to just being like an MJ. He was like an MJ cosplayer for his whole career.
Well, and he admitted that was the other funny thing in the silver screen in my own mentions, because I was the one who got to aggregate him admitting to copying Michael.
Need to at some point just like post a bunch of screen grabs of your reactions when I tell you need to write about Kobe.
I mean, I think we might have gotten one of those reactions on tape before the
greatest
show,
hits.
But yeah, I mean, people thought they were clever, saying like, you know, you're not clever if 37 different people offer up the same counter, right? As soon as you're one of 37 who are saying, I swear, you know, oh, the secret's out. We all knew this. Blah 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 blah, bruh.
Always a bruh.
Yeah, there was. I had a whole bunch of bras in my mentions that day, but yeah, I guess the reason I asked that about Michael, about like the lack thereof, was that Beck writes this, and honestly, kudos to Beck for noticing this, because it's a great thing to notice that, like, Klay Thompson isn't being compared to Michael. Right, Klay Thompson isn't even being compared to like Ray Allen or.
Yeah,
Reggie
I was gonna
Miller.
Say Klay Thompson being compared to MJ would be a really dumb comparison.
Right,
like, those are two very different players.
I mean, like maybe Paul George didn't last long enough in the playoffs for people to be like ex wing player. You know, a wing player, an ISO kind of heavy.
Is
player.
Is Paul George Tracy McGrady of yeah. this generation?
Right. So like maybe he didn't last long enough to make that comparison, and I guess. You know, you could try to do something along those lines of with LeBron. Although at this point, I'm of the opinion that LeBron has passed up Michael. When it comes to, you know, I kind of think Kobe came so close that we don't need to do that anymore. And I don't know if it's going to take with the Lakers, if it's going to take somebody, you know, reaching that atmosphere, Kobe's atmosphere, to be able to move on and be like. Actually, it was kind of stupid that we were comparing everybody to Kobe for all this time, right? Because that's kind of what we're doing at this point. We look back and we're like, you know, the Harold Miner thing was kind of a stretch. You know, John Starks, whoever, whichever flavor of the month we try to compare to Kobe, it all looks really stupid now in hindsight, with the lone exception being Kobe. And even then, anybody who mentions Kobe and Michael in the same sentence better prepare for their mentions to be an actual dumpster fire for the next couple days. So I would hope at some point in all this stuff that, yeah, we move on and we let D'Angelo Russell be D'Angelo Russell. We let Brandon Ingram be Brandon Ingram. And we don't hold it against them that they are not as good as Kobe was 7 years into his career. Because I would Do you think this is a hot take, Harrison?
What, Kobe better?
I think Brandon Ingram is a more intriguing prospect than Kobe Bryant was.
Whoa.
Is that too hot? Did I just set
that? That might be your hottest take of all time.
Then Kobe his rookie year. I guess Brandon had a really bad rookie year.
I mean, to be honest, I was like barely aware of what basketball was during Kobe's rookie year. But
I said that off the top of my head. If you guys want to yell at me for it, you guys can yell at me for it. But please
at Anthony Irwin LA.
Yeah.
Not at HM Fagan.
Please do so though by like screen grabbing Basketball Reference. Like give me facts and not Kobe better, because I say that
you're really taking that you're gonna argue this one. All right, I'm curious to see why you think so. Is it the number two overall pick thing, or just that Kobe didn't play that many minutes his rookie year? Like what makes you say this misguided thing?
This is really smart of you to like. To make sure you separate yourself from this take. Honestly, I haven't looked into it enough, but I think a 6'9", 6'10" wing with point guard skills, and frankly, he shot better in college than Kobe did his rookie year from 3-point range too. Like I think Brandon Ingram might offer. Now, this isn't to say that Brandon will wind
so
up.
So now we're going
better.
Back. We're just going to compare them again. Now we're like, we were railing at this, but Brandon Ingram, we can't compare them because Brandon Ingram is better than Kobe is what you're saying.
Yes, that's exactly it. But, but the point of me saying this is because they do this with hindsight as a tool, right? Like anybody can say, like even it at the beginning of Michael's rookie year, you know, people might have thought, holy crap, this guy can really put the ball in the basket. But did they think...
He might be the next Jerry West.
Yeah, did people really think to themselves, yes, this guy is definitely going to be, hands down, the greatest NBA player of all time?
No, I don't think anybody realized it until he had, like, ripped off three straight championships. And then they're like, yeah, this guy might be the best player we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, before that, it was just all about, like, what he couldn't do. It was like, oh, yeah, his scoring is great, but in the playoffs, you need a team approach. I watched Hoosiers once.
I kind of want to end the show on that line. but yeah, I would say, though, like, if I looked at – if I was a pro scout, if I was an NBA scout, and I was in charge of drafting one player over the other – it would be hard for me to just look at those two in the moment and pass up on Ingram for Kobe. Because, again, Kobe, there's a reason he went 13th and Ingram went second. Now, Ingram's draft class was pretty awful, as we've seen this year. But the same could almost be said for D'Angelo Russell. Aren't D'Angelo Russell's per 36 numbers better than Kobe's in his rookie year? Like, that's an actual thing.
Okay.
But what I'm saying here, though, is that I give these kids time before you compare them to the finished product that we saw Kobe Bryant become.
And again, they don't have to be Kobe. Kobe was amazing. Like, it's very unlikely that any of them are Kobe.
Yeah, and Kobe was – it was actually kind of a perfect storm for Kobe. He came in at the tail end of Michael's career. He got to emulate him from stuff that he was watching – you know, from playing against Michael, there was very easy to compare him and Michael. Now, that probably hurt him in some respects because people thought that he was just going too far out of his way to emulate and copy Michael. But at the end of the day, like, Kobe's brand being built on the fact that he was and will probably always remain the closest thing in terms of shooting guards to Michael Jordan, like, we're not going to see that again. Partially because the game has gone in a different direction. But hoping that two guys who don't play the same position as Kobe did and comparing them to the product that Kobe became and the brand that Kobe became and this almost cartoonish character that Kobe has become, especially post-retirement, like, he's talking about great white sharks and Allen Iverson. I don't think either Brandon Ingram or D'Angelo Russell is that kind of psychopath.
Yeah, I mean, I think, just to bring this full circle, maybe Tim DeFrancesco stepped down because they're bringing in Kobe to be their personal trainer and show them footage of, like, cheetahs hunting so that they can learn how to, like, play transition defense or something.
Like, National Geographic, Planet Earth, Blue Planet, like that's all this. We aren't going to watch game film.
They don't
film
watch game
on.
Film anymore. They just watch animal killing highlights.
Backstage Lakers is going to be lit.
They're like, here's a monkey teaching itself how to use tools and becoming violent. This is how you're going to work on your dribble handoffs.
Mark Wahlberg is going to make an appearance for some reason.
Sure. I mean, Kobe, we can just say this. He doesn't skimp on the production value on these things.
No, didn't he try to hire the guy from Titanic, the composer from Titanic?
He had John Williams compose his like documentary or his Dear Basketball thing that he did for the Tribeca Film Festival. And I mean, his Muse Cage thing, the game footage thing, part of that was basically like a higher production value Laker film room video with the voice of Belle from Beauty and the Beast narrating it.
Tremendous.
He doesn't skimp on production value.
Your mentions are going to go off again if he hears you talking about it like that.
That was a compliment.
All right, I think we pretty much covered this.
We fully went off the rails here. We gotta. This is where we end.
I would agree. Although I'm still kind of bummed that we didn't end on Hoosiers. That does it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Today's show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/LOLakers to try the product for free. It's a great product if you're looking to hire, as I am. Despite this great idea by Harrison to talk about Kobe and Michael and extend Howard Beck's article into this conversation here, I hope everybody enjoyed this. We are crawling through, we are trudging through this off season as best we possibly can. As always, if you have ideas for,
I think we're probably, let's do it. Let's say that we're going to do a mailbag on Friday if we don't get the guest that we're thinking we might get.
Great idea. That's what we'll do. So send in your questions to LakersLockedOn@gmail.com. Also, if you're looking to sponsor, if you're looking to get word out about your company, send us an email there too as well. We can provide you with the kind of statistics that you might be looking for in that situation. Again, today's show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Find the shows on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen, Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. We will talk to everybody again on Friday, either with a really special guest or answering your questions. It's a win-win either way. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you then.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.
You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.